I'm Monica Schmelter, and I'm glad that you could join me for Bridges today. And today we are going to take a look into God's Word, and we're going to talk about those times when the answer is no. And probably for all of us, getting a no can be disappointing, disconcerting. It can be a lot of things, because when we're asking for something, we usually want a yes. But truth number one that I want to share with you today is, it's not a question, it's not if, but when. There will come a time in all of our lives, in our Christian walk, that we will get the answer no. And depending on how we receive that, on how we process that, on how closely aligned we are with God's Word, with His character, how accurately we understand who He is, when the answer is no can make all the difference in how we respond and whether we grow more deeply in our faith or whether we end up walking away from faith or just being in a really hard place. So the first thing we need to understand is, it's not a question of if, but when. And no matter how many teachings there are in this world, that if you pray the right way, if you say all the right things, if you do all the right things, then you will get a yes, that's really not biblically accurate. There are times when we're doing all the right things out of love and out of obedience, and we're reading our Bible and we're praying. There are still those times when we are active in our relationship with the Lord and drawing close to Him so that He will draw close to us, that we will get a no. And so we need to understand, first of all, that that is going to happen. I want to take us to a point in Scripture of Matthew 26. I'm going to start reading there in verse 36. I'll read out of the New Living Translation. You and I will see in this passage of Scripture that even Jesus, when He prayed, got a no. And we can see how He handled this by yielding Himself under His Father's authority and in submission and in obedience. It starts out there and it says, then Jesus went with them to the olive grove called Gethsemane. And it talks about, and He said, sit here while I go over there to pray. He took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John. Some of you might remember them as the sons of thunder, as they were called. And He became anguished and distressed. He told them, my soul is crushed to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. He went a little farther and He bowed down with His face to the ground, praying, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want Your will to be done, not mine. Then we go on here in verse 40, and we see He says, then He returned to the disciples and He found them asleep. He said to Peter, couldn't you watch with me for even 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so you won't give into temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Then Jesus left them a second time and prayed, my Father, if this cup cannot be taken away unless I drink it, Your will be done. When He returned to them again, He found them sleeping, for they couldn't keep their eyes open. So He went to pray for a third time, saying the same things again. Then He came to the disciples and He said, go ahead and have your sleep. Have your rest, but look, the time has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinner. Up, let's be going. My betrayer is here. So I want us to stop here in this passage of Scripture, because we have just taken in a lot. And if you think about this moment in time for Jesus, even though He is the Son of God, perfect, sinless, holy, all of that, we see Him here praying as a man to His Father, going through this entire experience as fully human. And he's praying and he's suffering, and those closest around him are tired. And he's asking them, you know, could you just watch and pray with me? It says that his soul is in deep anguish. He's crushed with grief. So when we look in the book of Hebrews and we see those scriptures there that say we have a high priest who's touched with the feelings of our infirmities, who at every point is tempted as we are, yet remained without sin. We understand that we have a high priest who's touched with the feelings of our infirmities because he himself has suffered. And in this Garden of Gethsemane, he's suffering for what's about to come. He knows the kind of brutal death that he's going to die. And you know, any one of us, if we know that we're going to be brutally beaten, crucified, and killed, our soul is going to be deep in sorrow. And we are going to be thinking, if there is like any way out of this, I want that road. And the scripture records here, he asked it not just once, not just twice, but he prayed it three times. And all three times he came back to, if it can't pass from me, nevertheless, your will be done. So when we look at our lives and our prayers and the things that hurt us and disappoint us and the things that excite us and the things that we want and all the yeses that we want to get, we need to understand it's not a question of if, but when we get that no. And who will we be and how will we respond when we get the no? Jesus responded, nevertheless, let your will be done. And when we find him in this dark moment, it says he's bowed to the ground. If you think about it, if you knew that people were after you, and Jesus knows this, the last thing any one of us would do in the natural is bow to the ground, because then it's easier, right, for people to get you. At least if you're standing up, you can run away, you can try to hide, but it's going to take more time if you're down on the ground, you're in a more vulnerable position. And he asked those around him, he didn't ask them to stand guard to keep him safe, don't let the bad guys near me. He really invited them to bow down on the ground with him and to pray. In other words, he was putting himself completely under the Father's care and the Father's authority, knowing that his Father, God, is the great I am, the one who was, who is, and is to come. And he did not mind to get down on the ground at the worst time in his life and pray his heart out, crushed to the point of grief, sorrow overtaking him. He poured it all out, if there's any other way. And yet he said, not my will, but your will be done. And he is for all of us our advocate, our savior, our elder brother, our great example. And so when the answer is no, we yield ourselves to our Father, whose thoughts are not our thoughts, whose ways are not our ways, who says to us through Scripture that we see in part, we know in part, as through a glass dimly. So all of these things that we ask and all of these yeses that we want, sometimes we just don't see enough of the whole picture to know what to really ask. God knew what had to be done to save you and to save me. He knew the penalty that had to be paid for sin. He said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And so Jesus, while he was on the ground, vulnerable to the elements, to the people that wanted to kill him, to the people who loved him but were just so tired and didn't quite get it, he yielded to the authority of his Father. And after being crushed with grief and in that place, and some places in the Gospels, it says that he sweated so profusely that it was droplets of blood were coming from his physical body. I mean, that's some agony right there. And he gets done, and he says to the disciples then, man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Up. Let's be going. Look, my betrayer is here. And even as Jesus said this, Judas, one of the 12 disciples, arrived with a crowd of men armed with swords and clubs. They had been sent by the leading priest and elders of the people. The traitor, Judas, had given them a prearranged signal. "You will know who to arrest when I greet him with a kiss." So Judas came straight to Jesus. "Greetings, Rabbi," he exclaimed, and he gave him a kiss. Jesus said, "My friend, go ahead and do what you have come for." Now, again, that's a lot to take in. And we may have heard this story and we may have read these scriptures so many times before and on Resurrection Sunday or on Good Friday and at other times. And sometimes we lose the fact that this was happening in real time. That Jesus, being fully God, was walking fully as a man, and that he had spent his earthly life, that time of ministry with Judas, pouring into him, investing in him, teaching him all the things, doing miracles in front of him. He loved Judas. And he gets up from this intense time of suffering in prayer, and he says to the disciples, "Up, let's get going. Look, my betrayer is here."
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
And Judas greets him with a kiss. You've probably heard that saying, the kiss of death. And it probably comes from these passages in Scripture because that's what that kiss was. It was not a kiss of affection and greeting, which was biblical custom of that day. It was the kiss of betrayal, of death. It marked, it identified Jesus as who he was. And Jesus says to Judas, my friend, go ahead and do what you have come for. So Jesus prayed honestly before the Lord in earnest. He poured out his sufferings. He poured out his angst. And he closed it with, "Nevertheless, your will be done." So today, as we talk about when the answer is no, truth number two for today is pray earnestly. Pour it all out, whatever it is. Don't couch what you're saying and what you think sounds good or what religious people say or what your circle of friends say. "Oh God, it really doesn't matter." You know what? If it's something that really matters to you, you can tell God that it really matters to you. When Jesus was sweating those drops of blood, he was telling God, "This really matters to me. This suffering that's ahead of me, like that, thinking about knowing no sin, that all of the world's sin would be laid on you, the amount of stress, pressure, anxiety." And yet he yielded out of obedience to the Father. The word says, for the joy that was set before him, he disregarded the shame that he was about to encounter. And he said to the disciples, "Up, let's get going." He says to Judas, "My friend, do what you've come for." And so you and I can learn a lot from his example to pray earnestly. Don't just say flowery little sayings to him. Pray in earnest about whatever it is. If you are heartbroken, if you are in grief, if you are in loss, if you don't understand, if you are mad, if you think he's answering everybody else's prayers, like whatever, pour it all out. Don't be afraid of the ugly cry. Don't be afraid about what other people tell you about how to pray and when to pray. All of those things is good, but I'll tell you this. What God wants is you. What he wants is your heart. What he wants is to be close to you. He gave his only son so that we could be redeemed, so that we can be in relationship. So you can, if there's a safe place to be honest, he's it. The cross is your safe place. So pray earnestly and yield to his will. When the answer's no, yes, we can trust that he has our best interests at heart, but sometimes we have to go through some things in prayer, perhaps in fasting, reading of the word, to get to that place that we say like Jesus did, up, let's get going. Up, let's face another day. Up, I don't like what I'm going through, Jesus, but in faith, I'm up. I'm going to get going. I'm going to face whatever's here, not by myself, but knowing that you're here with me, because you're the friend that never leaves. He sticks closer than a brother. And so up, we face another day. I want to read to you 1 Peter verses 5 through 7. It says there, all of you dress yourselves in humility as you relate to one another. For God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, and at the right time, he will lift you up in honor. Give all your worries and cares to God, because he cares about you. So this chapter that is written starts speaking to elders and tells the elders of the church, look, don't lord your authority over the flock. Don't perform your service. Don't give your leadership for what you can get, but do it out of love for the Lord. And then he says to the younger people, submit yourself to your elders. And then he says to everybody, to all of you, submit yourselves in humility as you relate to one another, because God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So God opposes us when we're prideful toward him, but also when we're prideful to one another. But then it goes on, it says, and humble yourselves under the mighty power of God, which is what Jesus is doing here in the Garden of Gethsemane. He is humbling himself, though being fully God, he is humbling himself as a man, submitting himself to God, knowing that at the right time, God would lift him up in honor. And then it says, give all your worries and cares to God because he cares about you. Think about it. So it can be hard for us so many times to submit ourselves to other people out of reverence to Christ. It can be hard to submit ourselves to authority. Why? Because it puts us in a somewhat vulnerable position. People don't always treat us with the value that we have in Christ, or with the care that we deserve, just as dignity, just as being a human being. People say and do things that are hurtful. People can be so cruel and rude. And yes, many people are very kind and loving, but we all know that sometimes we bump up against people who don't do right. They don't treat us right. And if we're honest, there have been times we haven't done what's right, and we haven't treated others always with the dignity and the care that people deserve just because they're human, made in the image of God. It says, give all of your worries, like all the angst about this stuff here on planet Earth, all of that. Give all of your worries, all of your cares, all of your concerns to God. Why? Because he cares for you. You know, and I know what it's like when we pour our hearts out to another human being who is indifferent, just doesn't get it. Perhaps they get it and they just don't care, or they're just busy on their phone and you're like, I'm trying to talk to you, but you know, they have text messages and oh, got to take the call, all of that. That never happens with God. And what was Jesus doing in the Garden of Gethsemane? He was giving all of his cares, all of that. He was giving it to God, knowing that God cares for him. So it's a two-part exchange there. We're not just told to just run off at the mouth and just kind of give it. We're told to bask in that love from the Lord, of his care and of his concern for us. So truth number two is to pray earnestly and yield to his will. And truth number three is to give all of your worries and all of your concerns to God, because he cares for you. There are times we pour our heart out to people and they couldn't care less. They're too busy. They don't understand. But none of this ever happens with God. And what can be very helpful, especially when the answer is no, and you feel like you're the only one and that everybody else is in a better place than you, that's a pretty isolating place. And to feel unloved and uncared about and like you're just so hurt and that God just gave you a no or maybe a maybe or a delay or whatever in that period of waiting can be really awful to the human spirit. But he doesn't leave us there defenseless. This passage of scripture in the book of Peter says, give all of your cares, all of your worries to God because he cares for you. And what might be helpful is for you just to make a list, and I will put this in the online extras on the website, a list of the worries and concerns, and then some scripture next to that about how much God loves you. To remind yourself that God says that there is not even a sparrow that falls that he doesn't take notice. And he says, and how much more important, how much more do I value you than a sparrow? Think about it. He counts the number of hairs on our head. Just how do you even keep up with that count? Because every time you brush your hair, some falls out. Every time you shampoo it, how does God keep up with all these people on planet Earth in the count of their hair? That he has more thoughts toward us, right, than the grains of sand. Can't even begin to think about how many of those that there are. And that by the power of his word, he holds all of the stars in place and each one has a name. That God, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He loves you. He loves me. When the answer is no, yes, it's hard. But it is also an invitation to trust him more deeply, to do what Jesus did, to get ourselves down on the ground, to pray, to cry the ugly cry without fear of reprisal, without fear that he's going to find fault. He says to us in the book of James that whoever comes to him for wisdom, he will never cast out and he will not find fault with us. We know how it is, life and fallen world, right? We do something that's silly and people will be like, well, why did you do that? That's like finding fault with us. Like, well, why didn't you think that through? And that happens to all of us. But God, in his care, in his providential concern, even when the answer is no, you can still trust him. He's still there for you. He doesn't say you have to jump up and down and just rejoice that you got a no and just pretend like it doesn't bother you. Some of that is just plain old legalism. There's nothing real about it. It's not a real relationship. If you are grieving and if you are heartbroken and you are acting like you are happy, I mean, I know when you go to work, right, you have to put on your work face and do your job, but I'm talking about in your relationship with the Lord. We can let our guard down. And we can cry those tears and we can process those emotions and we can say, you know, God, I want this season of suffering to go by. But nevertheless, your will be done, because I submit to your authority, God, because your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. Your ways are better than my ways. You see it all. I don't. I see just this little bit, this moment in time. And the Bible addresses that. He says that he knows our frames, but they are just dust. There's another book in the New Testament, and it talks about that our life is just a vapor, a little while, and then it is no more. We don't know everything. We can get so angry at God and so frustrated and so hurt when the answer is no. But we have to trust that he knows better than we do. And that even when it hurts and even when it's hard, he's still on our side. When the answer is no, it doesn't always mean that you or that I did something wrong. I mean, we all do things wrong sometimes. But we can trust Romans 8:28 that says he's working all things out for our good. Because if we love him and if we're called according to his purpose. And today's truth that I want to encourage you with is when the answer is no, cast all of your cares on him because he cares for you. His care for you and his care for me is far greater than anything that we can ever think or imagine. We know what it feels like, right, in earthly relationships to love someone, to love your spouse, to love your parents, to love family members, to love friends that are close to you, how powerful that is, how far that will go out of our ways to protect our family members, to do good things for them. We know that. But his care is far greater. His care is so much that he gave his only son. And his only son was so committed to the Father, pleasing the Father, that he bowed down on the ground at the worst and most troubling time of his life and said, if there's any other way, Father, let this cup of suffering pass. And even though the answer was no and the cup of suffering could not pass, Jesus said, nevertheless, your will be done. And so for us, our challenge, and we get God's help with it, we don't have to do it on our own, is to have that attitude that nevertheless, God, thy will be done. So when the answer is no, put it in your head and far more important in your heart. Cast all of your cares on him, knowing that he cares for you and that he is going to see you through. I'm out of time, but I say goodbye and God bless you.
Finding uplifting news in today's headlines is often like searching for a needle in a haystack. At the Story Behind podcast, we believe in the power of finding heartwarming tales and are happy to share empowering stories with you every week. Hear about how Steve Harvey surprised a dying man on Family Feud with $25,000. Get inspired by the note a waitress received from a patron dining alone. And even hear about how one VIP passenger made a hardworking pilot get emotional before his flight. To start listening to the Story Behind podcast, visit lifeaudio.com or search Story Behind on your favorite podcast platform.